At the tail end of the Great Depression, before the interstate highway system spread across America, before chain restaurants and huge industrial factory farms, dinner was a very different prospect. Food was local, and so were the recipes, handed down by memory and scrap paper through generations. The Depression-era Federal Writers Project set out to record and preserve the country's foodways for a book that would have been called America Eats. But war intervened, and the book was never published. The essays and recipes were hidden away in dusty boxes for decades. Writer Mark Kurlansky found the America Eats files in the Library of Congress, and he's published a selection of them in his new book, The Food of a Younger Land. He says the men and women of the Federal Writers Project were looking for something new to do as their famous guidebook series wound down.
Catherine Kellogg, who had come up with the idea of the guidebooks, came up with this idea that they should do something on how America eats. Not only recipes and the food they eat, but the culture of eating, the different kinds of get-togethers in different places. She asked the writers to keep an eye out for food conflicts, like New England arguments about chowder and Carolina arguments about barbecue and the right way to make a mint julep.
I would like very much for you to give us a recipe that reflects a vanished time. And we have to say we were sort of bowled over by the piece on North Carolina chitterling strut. Could you talk to us about that? You'd never find it in a cookbook today.
You know, one of the things that's particularly striking with these things is that some of these foods, most of these foods are still around. You just have to be a real detective to find them, but they're around. But the social gatherings are what we have lost. And this was about a traditional gathering.
So let's hear a little bit of it.
So this piece begins, Mehitable Dorsey and her man, Doak, butchered their hogs on the creek bank last Thursday. The chill of late fall has set in. The new moon is on the rise, so there is no danger of the meat swelling. The chitlins have been soaked in salt water for 2 days now and ought to be just right for frying in the pan. By word of mouth, the invite has been broadcast to the Negro population of Upper Cape Fear.
No one would write like this today. It has racist overtones that are really off-putting.
Extremely condescending to African Americans. I found a lot of that, you know, when I was going through these boxes and, you know, thinking, isn't this interesting? I'm in, you know, 1940 America, and suddenly I realized, yes, I'm in pre-civil rights South. Some things I didn't even put in. Originally, I didn't want to put in any of the racist stuff, but I thought, you know, I'm trying to show 1940 America, and this is part of it.
Yeah. I also loved the piece, Nebraskans Eat the Wieners, from the Midwest section.
Yes. I mean, that's one of my real accomplishments, not to brag, but the poem Nebraska Eats the Wieners would have been lost to American literature if I had not resurrected it.
Well, then I insist that you give it to us here, if you would, please.
Okay. Nebraskans eat the wieners, and are they considered swell? They are eaten by the millions. That is one way you can tell. Some fry them in a skillet. Others boil them deep in kraut. But the man who knows his wieners and what it's all about is the one who builds a fire in the forest or a park, then watch them sizzle to a brown as the dusk turns into dark. We believe that if Napoleon, in retreating from the cold, could have had Nebraska hot dogs, he would have made it to the fold.
That is so much fun, and I'm really glad that you gave that back to the American public. What kind of America do you conjure up and think about as you leaf through all these old typescripts, parchments, mimeographs, carbon copies? What sort of sense of America came back to you?
An America in which people were really rooted to the place that they lived and had a very strong sense of their local culture, and we're very dependent on the local food producers. There's all sorts of things in here that were commonplace that are disappearing. There's a lot of Southern recipes that call for squirrel, and they didn't shoot these things in the park. They were wild flying squirrel from uncut Appalachian forest, which there's very little left. We're losing so much, and we're talking about 70 years. You know, it's not even a lifetime.
Still, I'd like to thank Mark Kurlansky that if I did wander off the road, that it wouldn't be completely gone. that I would somehow find chicken bog or bouillon, and I'm pretty darn sure I could find Indiana persimmon pudding.
I've done that. You can. There's only about three counties in southern Indiana that are the persimmon counties. But, you know, where a lot of these things are is in rural counties in very specific places.
Well, I am from a place that has an annual raccoon roast. And if you're ever in the southeast corner of Wisconsin in the fall and you want to go to a raccoon roast, just give me a ring.
All right. I do want to go to a raccoon
you
roast.
You do?
I would never pass up a chance to go to a raccoon roast.
Mark Kurlansky's new book is The Food of a Younger Land. He's also written Cod and Salt, and he joined us from New York. Mark Kurlansky, thanks so much.
Very nice talking to you.
You can hear Mark Kurlansky recite the full version of Nebraskans Eat the Wieners on our website at npr.org.